Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Monday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be, up and down the Stand in the Gap Radio Network, and that may mean many, many different places, but we do want to thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company as we gather together for another week of broadcasting. And I am here in Pennsylvania, and David Kistler is in Alabama, and Sam Rohr is over in Ukraine, so he will not be with us on the radio this week. But David, how in the world are things in the beautiful state of Alabama?
Alabama, the Crimson Tide won on Saturday, so when they win, things are typically good in this state. But spiritually speaking, they're doing very, very well as well. I'm at a church in Opelika, Alabama, Marvin Parkway Baptist Church. The pastor is Pastor David Floyd, who is sitting to my left, and so it's been a great week thus far.
Well, praise the Lord, and we trust that you have a great week there. Folks, we do want to encourage you to be praying for Brother Sam as he is over in Ukraine. And keep in mind that what is going on there is Ukraine would like to become a nation like the United States of America was at one time. That means having a constitution that's based upon the Word of God, has a strong Judeo-Christian ethic. And so the American Pastors Network has been involved with helping them to develop such a constitution. And this week, David Barton and Sam Rohr are over there speaking to that issue. So we would encourage you to be praying for them as they do that. Certainly, that is needed over there because we realize that there's a Russian impact there. We also realize, and I think, Dave, you and Brother Sam talked about this last Tuesday when I was out of town, and that is the idea that there has been a push from some of the congressmen here in the United States of America to welcome homosexuality into Ukraine. Is there not?
Well, Gary, it's been more than just that. There has been overt pressure applied by some within the Obama administration mm-hmm. to for the Ukrainian constitution to reflect strong LGBT support. And if they did not include that in their new constitution, then there would be ramifications from the standpoint of what the United States would not do to support the country of Ukraine. So, Gary, it's very heavy-handed, a very heavy-handed strategy on the part of the Obama administration. It's absolutely inexcusable that they would do something like that.
Well, it is. And so we would encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, to pray for Sam and our other fellow over there, David Armstrong. Dale Armstrong. Dale Armstrong, who, of course, is with the American Pastors Network. He's our international director, and we would encourage you to be praying for he and Sam and David Barton as they are over there doing what they can to lay the foundation for a constitution that is biblically based. Well, a lot of things going on in the world today. We do want to remind you that coming into the second segment of the program, we will be having with us Andy Wells, who is with We Stand With God rallies, and he's going to be sharing with us about this past rally that took place in North Carolina on Saturday, I believe it was. So you won't want to miss that. But, Dave, this past Wednesday, the Department of Justice Justice's Assistant Attorney General spoke at an event sponsored by the Southern Poverty Law Center and George Washington University, at which he announced the creation of a new position within the Justice Department that will coordinate the fight against domestic terrorism. And, of course, he says this reflects a renewed and long overdue focus on violent homegrown extremism. That sounds great, Dave. It sounds like we're really finally going to be standing against jihadist activities in the United States of America, doesn't it?
Well, Gary, you know, to the cursory viewer or the cursory listener of that to that statement would think, yeah, that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to go after these violent jihadist extremists. But, Gary, here's the problem with this new position and with Mr. Carlin and with the Department of Justice as a whole. The people that they consider violent extremists have nothing to do with jihadis. The ones to whom they're referring are organizations like the American Family Association, Family Research Council, and even the Fox News Channel. So, Gary, these are the ones that this new entity within the Department of Justice, that's who they're going to be addressing and those that they're going to be watching. And, Gary, it is a short leap from AFA, Family Research Council, Fox News. It's a short leap from them to any church or any pastor in the United States of America that stands where God stands on any of these vitally important issues, be it the definition of marriage, the sanctity of life, anything that God addresses that is not considered politically correct. This entity is now going to be monitoring and potentially, Gary, prosecuting.
Well, it is, and as I understand it, David, a quote that came out of that particular conference goes like this: domestic terrorism is a national security threat. The government understands this, and the American people must understand it. Unfortunately, Fox News and other right-wing organizations, including hate groups like the American Family Association and the Family Research Council, spread the idea that the government is the enemy. Hardly surprising, given the federal government is our last line of defense against domestic terrorism, they have played such a prominent part in spawning, end quote. I tell you the truth, I don't think that the folks at the American Family Association deserve being called a hate group. I don't think that the folks at the Family Research Council deserve being called a hate group. You know, this just shows me, David, what could I say, liberal, secular philosophy running amok here. And, you know, in some cases, the government is our enemy, particularly when it tries to take away from the biblical foundation upon which this nation was established.
Well, Gary, it is, and it can be an enemy if it tries to do those kind of things. Our audience needs to remember, Gary, it was just a few years ago that the Southern Poverty Law Center posted on its website the Family Research Council and labeled them as a hate group. Mm-hmm. And that spawned a gentleman to go to Washington, D.C., an attempt to get into the Family Research Council offices, which he did just basically into the front office, and actually fired off rounds and injured several people there at the Family Research Council. So, Gary, it's not FRC that's the problem here. They're not the one that's the hate group. Southern Poverty Law Center certainly is, and those that are of that ilk that would pick up a weapon and go after a Christian ministry in that fashion. Gary, it's not the Christians that are the problem. It's these other groups that are the problem.
Well, just like Brian Fisher of the American Family Association stated, and I quote, "Disagreement is not hatred, and the truth is not hate speech." Somebody needs to tell that to the president, and of course that's absolutely correct. We are living in a day and age, Dave, whenever we stand up for biblical truth, that we are told that we are proclaiming hate speech. And it's just the truth. Unfortunately, we are living in a day and age where there is no absolute truth. And when you try to proclaim the truth, people twist it and say it's hate speech. We need to get back to the truth of the Word of God in every aspect of our lives and in every aspect of our ministries. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will be having with us Andy Wells, who is with We Stand With God Rallies. And I think that as he gives us an update as to what took place down in North Carolina over the weekend, it will be encouraging. So don't you go too far away. We will be back with more right after these messages. This is Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. We will be right back in just about 4 minutes.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would make this your one and only project, you could change the country. But we can only make this change if we're willing to stand together. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The British power in America was broken this day, October 19, 1781, as 8,000 British troops under Lord Cornwallis surrendered at Yorktown. The following day, General George Washington called for a Thanksgiving service, stating, "In order to diffuse the general joy through every breast, the general orders that divine service be performed tomorrow in the several brigades. The Commander-in-Chief earnestly recommends that the troops not on duty should universally attend. With gratitude of heart, which the astonishing interposition of Providence demands of us."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, we are certainly delighted to have each and every one of you with us, wherever you might be today, up and down the network. And along with David Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl, thanking you very, very much for the pleasure of your company. Please continue to pray for Sam Rohr as he is over in Ukraine this week, working with the folks over there who would like to see a biblically based constitution for their country. How we are thankful that the American Pastors Network has the opportunity to be involved with that. I also want to encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap radio website, or at least keep the address of it handy, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, because at that particular website, you can correspond with us. And we love to hear from those of you who are our listeners. And when you correspond with us, we get back with you as soon as we possibly can. So we would love to hear from you and continue to talk with you and have you involved with us in that way. Also, at that particular website, there is a link to our anchor station, which is WFYL in the Philadelphia area, in the event that you are away from your radio and out of the signal of the station with which you normally listen, you will be able to pick up the program on the internet there. Once again, that is www.standinthegapradio.com. Well, today we are delighted to have Andy Wells back with us, David Kistler. It's great to have a new friend in our ministry here, sir.
Well, Gary, it absolutely is. And, of course, last week we had Pastor Andy on for the first time as he was preparing and we were trying to help promote the rally that took place in Raleigh, North Carolina, called We Stand With God. And, of course, that rally took place this past Saturday. And so we've got Andy on to kind of give us an update about what took place. And just to refresh the memory of our listening audience, Andy is the pastor of Galilee Baptist Church in Monroe, North Carolina. He really has a solid, strong financial background before the Lord called him into the ministry. And then most recently, he has become one of the key players, part of the steering committee for the We Stand With God rallies. There's been one conducted on the State House steps in Columbia, South Carolina that drew about 13,000 people. And then this is the second full-scale We Stand With God rally that was held this past Saturday in Raleigh, North Carolina. So, Andy, what a blessing, my friend, to have you back on the program. Give us, if you would, a little bit of an update and a recap of what happened on Saturday there in the Halifax Mall area right close to the State House there in Raleigh, North Carolina.
It's good to be back on Stand in the Gap. We appreciate you, Brother Gary. And, Dave, we thank you for allowing us to be back on to give an update today in regard to the rally that was held in Raleigh on this past Saturday. The Lord did a really good work for us on that day. The weather definitely cooperated with us. The Lord helped us in regard to that. And there were literally thousands and thousands of people that came from all over the state of North Carolina, from the coast all the way to the mountains, and converged on the Halifax Mall for the purpose of just allowing their presence to be known and their voice to be heard. There were politicians there at the legislative campuses that were able to see their constituents gathered there. The lieutenant governor of the state came and saw what a gathering. He was impressed with the gathering that the Lord had sent that day. And we just had a good time of preaching and political speeches by men that were on the same page as we are. We had Governor Huckabee that was with us, and he made it very emphatically clear that this was not a political rally. It was a rally for righteousness, and the most important thing was that we realized that righteousness does exalt a nation and sins are reproach to any people. And we had a lot of pastors that came, brought their churches, and then responded at the altar call to get involved in taking our nation back.
Who were some of the other speakers that were there, Andy? Could you share that with our audience, please?
Yes, sir. Brother Gary, we had the lieutenant governor of our state, Dan Forrest, who is a Christian. We had him come and open in prayer. We had Alex McFarland, who is an apologist. He has a radio broadcast on AFR. We'll be on there later on today. He was the MC of the event. But we had, of course, Governor Huckabee was with us. He spoke. We had Otis Duhart, who is an evangelist out of Knoxville, Tennessee, who used to play for Florida State when Bobby Bowden was the coach there. And then along with them, we had two in-state preachers, Dr. Ron Beatty, who heads up a group called Return America. God's used him in a great way with rallies that help bring the marriage amendment to the state of North Carolina state constitution, and he is now being effectual in Washington working with our legislators there, as well as Dr. Tim Rabin, who pastors the Beacon Baptist Church there in Raleigh.
Andy, let me ask you this question. Do you have any idea or any feel at all for how many pastors were actually part of the rally on Saturday? And then once you answer that, what is the sense you got from them? I heard from one of my dear pastor friends in the immediate Raleigh area. In fact, he posted on Facebook and said, you know, the time has come for him to stop standing in the shadows and start standing up and speaking unequivocally in defense of biblical values and the Word of God and truth. And in his post, he referenced that he was tired of hearing some of the negative comments about the rally on Saturday. And the implication from his post, Andy, was that he heard some of those things from some of those within the quote-unquote Christian community. How many pastors were in attendance, and have you heard anything negative coming from any of those that attended the rally?
We do not have a total on the pastors that responded on that day. We had literally hundreds of pastors who responded to the altar call. The altar call given by Dr. Beatty was very specific in regard to pastors and pastors alone, that they would move forward to show their congregations who were in attendance with them that they were going to begin to stand up and make a difference, and that they were going to make a change, and they were making a commitment. They signed commitment cards, and we had, you know, several hundred commitment cards that came in. We have not got them all counted yet. However, I talked to one of our men that works very closely with us, and he went through just a handful of those cards on yesterday, about 100 cards that he went through, and just the church membership of those 100 people was in excess of 15,000 people that those men were going to go back to their churches and motivate to get them registered to vote, motivate those people to become politically involved, not just in the voting process of pulling a lever at the poll, but as well getting involved locally, finding out who their, you know, who their Congress people are, who their legislators in state are, who their county commissioners are, and open lines of dialogue with these people on a regular basis through written communication, through social media and phone conversations, and then getting to know their local representatives, developing friendships with them, even going so far as taking churches and beginning to start steering committees to take over seats in county councils. And so those are some of the things that came out of that. Now, to address the negativity, anytime you do anything for God, as both of you very well know, you're going to face some opposition. And it's amazing how that Satan motivates folks that you would think would be on the same team, to fight against you. And, you know, Satan, that's his ploy, that's his job, that's what he does. If I were going to do a performance appraisal on the job that Satan does, I would give him a raise because he does a very good job. But the truth is, I was speaking to a pastor recently, and he had a friend in his local area that was very negative toward what we were doing. And he said the ironic thing about that was, as soon as the Supreme Court's decision of June the 26th came down, the very next Sunday, this pastor was standing preaching a message to his congregation about how that it's time to take a stand. Somebody needs to stand up and step up, and somebody needs to say something and do something. Well, we're providing a venue for that, and we're providing motivation and direction for that, and yet there are folks who don't want to get involved. And because they don't want to get involved, there's several reasons. Sometimes it comes, Brother Dave, because it's not their idea. Sometimes it comes because they don't know who is involved in the steering committee. But when it comes to being negative about folks that are trying to stand, normally that's motivated by fear. And I made this statement to a pastor early this morning. So a lot of preachers are like a gorilla at the zoo. They beat on their chests inside their cages, and they're very fearsome inside the cage. But to everyone standing on the outside, they're no threat as long as they're in the cage. And it's time to open the door and come out of the cage.
You know, I can say 100% that whenever you're trying to make a decision or make a difference, I should say, in whatever the situation is, I have found over the years, Andy, that my number one opponents have been others who are of like precious faith. It should not be that. I mean, I could take you to one case after another where in standing for truth and righteousness in our community, that it's been some of the other, quote, Bible-believing preachers who have been out there who've cast the strongest darts. And that is unfortunate when you take into consideration that we are seeing a nation that is turning way far away from the biblical roots upon which she was established. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking with Andy Wells, who is with the Pastor Andy Wells, I should say, was with the Stand with God rallies, and we're going to continue to talk with him as we go into the next segment, just taking into consideration what the goal of the Stand in the Gap rallies are all about and why we need to get behind what they are doing in prayer and in as much activity as we possibly can. So don't you go away. We are going to take about a 3-minute break, but then we will be back as we continue our discussion here on Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. Israel saying no to a French plan aimed at easing violence in Jerusalem.
We believe that this initiative to have an international force of observers on Temple Mount is a prize to terror. In fact, the Palestinians have encouraged terror on Temple Mount and all over the state of Israel. And by giving in to this pressure, we simply will encourage more terror.
Israeli Foreign Ministry spokesman Emmanuel Nashon, an Afghan official weighing in on a recent U.S. airstrike against a Doctors Without Borders hospital that killed at least 22.
Afghanistan's acting defense minister says the agency's hospital was being used by insurgents who were fighting government forces. Masoom Stanexi says the Doctors Without Borders facility was used by the Taliban and possibly Pakistani intelligence.
Fox Radio's Jessica Gallagher. Fox News. We report. You decide.
Working for you. Tri-state area, streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYN.
From the Pennsylvania Family Council, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. The case against taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood continues to grow. Of course, the series of videos exposing that organization's complicity in the harvesting and sale of body parts should be enough to stop the flow of tax dollars, and in my view, bring criminal prosecution as well. But in addition, the number of people Pennsylvania Planned Parenthood sees each year has been going down, while the number of abortions they perform is quickly growing. Thus, this is further evidence that Planned Parenthood is first and foremost all about abortion. They should not get 1 cent of taxpayer dollars. Find out more about what you can do about this issue at our website at pafamily.org. And while I've got you for another moment, consider joining us for our Friends of the Family Banquet on Friday, October 30th in Hershey. You can get details at pafamily.org or always call us toll-free at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Along with David Kistler, I'm Gary Dull. And again, we want to encourage you to continue to pray for Sam Rohr, as, of course, he is over in Ukraine this week, working with folks over there who would like to see Ukraine establish a constitution that's based upon biblical principles like ours here in the United States of America is. And so we would encourage you to continue to pray for him, no doubt, next Monday when he is back with us. Why, we'll be able to get an update as to what's taking place over yonder. But today we have with us again Pastor Andy Wells, who, of course, serves the Galilee Baptist Church. I believe, Andy, that's in the Raleigh, North Carolina area. Is that correct?
It's actually in the Charlotte, North Carolina area.
Charlotte area. Okay.
Yes,
we'll get you straightened up there before too long, so hang in there with us. But Andy is with the We Stand With God rally. And for those of you who maybe just joined us, or those of you who are not aware of what the We Stand With God rallies are, Andy, why don't you just share with our listeners that what it's all about, share with them the goal, the objective of the rallies. Why are they needed? What is the intent? And where are you going to go from here with them?
Well, it started as a result of a burden that was birthed in the heart of three pastors who lived in the state of South Carolina as a result of the June the 26th decision by the Supreme Court on same-sex marriage, because these men, one of them being myself, understood the far-reaching effects it was going to have on religious liberty. Edmund Burke said all tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of a good conscience to remain silent. And we decided that we weren't going to remain silent anymore, but we were going to start to rally just a few people. We didn't realize how large it was going to become. The first rally in Columbia, South Carolina on August the 29th garnered about 12,000 people. We were asked to go to North Carolina, and on this past Saturday, the rally was held in Raleigh, North Carolina, at the Halifax Mall between the legislative complexes there, and we had 8,000 to 10,000 people that were in attendance at that rally. Now, the entire purpose of the rally is not just to wave signs and go home, but it's to motivate pastors, number one, to re-engage their people in their culture, not just to be Christians within inside the four walls of their home, which is exactly what Adolf Hitler told the preachers of his day, was for them to keep their religion inside their houses, and his tyrannical government took over and slaughtered millions and millions of people. And so we realize that if we're going to preserve our republic to the way that our founders intended, then there's going to have to be, you know, preachers, pastors, and churches that are going to actually engage the culture. And so we're doing that with pastors. After the rally is over with, the intention is to leave a few thousand dollars behind in each state for pastors to coalesce and get together and move toward their state capital with a luncheon for their legislators as they come back to session, and then just basically learn who they are and engage them about righteous legislation and let them know they're willing to send them to the house without a job if they stand against righteous legislation and against liberty for we as churches and against the unborn and things of that nature. And so that's basically what we're doing, Brother Gary, and we're seeing God bless it and move on it. This upcoming Friday, we'll gather in two cities, one in western North Carolina and one in Raleigh, North Carolina, for the express purpose of bringing the pastors that made commitments on Saturday back together in these central locations for the purpose of now beginning to organize them to go forward.
Andy, I thought your analogy earlier before the break was so outstanding. You talked about gorillas in a cage and how sometimes we as preachers will boldly beat our chest inside the four walls of our churches, but when it comes to engaging the culture, we tend to be very ineffective and are perceived to be no threat whatsoever to the forces of godlessness and those that are against righteousness. I thought that was an excellent analogy. I think Gary and I will probably borrow that analogy and certainly footnote you as we do, but I thought it was well stated. You know, Andy, it's inconceivable to me that anybody could have a problem with what God graciously did through you men this past Saturday in Raleigh. I don't understand how anybody could be upset about that, but it is reminiscent of what happened in Germany. Dietrich Bonhoeffer tried to rally pastors. He saw what was coming.
Yes.
He was minimally, if effective at all, in trying to get anyone together. And then, of course, what happened in Germany is well known. And we do not want to see a repeat of that in the United States of America, certainly. So, Brother Andy, I commend you for what you're doing. Thank God for your courageous stand. We want you to know at the American Pastors Network, we stand unequivocally with you in support of what you're doing. It was my regret I couldn't be at the rally on Saturday, but we certainly held you up in prayer and will continue to do so in the days ahead. I want to ask you this question, Andy, as we are winding down here. Are you sensing across North Carolina, South Carolina, as you interact with pastors maybe from other states around the United States, are you sensing an awareness on the part of pastors. They really do now understand, or at least they're beginning to understand, where we are as a nation and how critical, how absolutely indispensable it is for movements, and I'm going to use the term movement, I'm using that strategically, movements like We Stand With God. Are they understanding how important this is?
Beginning to. We're still fighting apathy, but we're beginning to see a breakthrough. And if we can start with just a few, it's amazing how that a few can turn the world upside down. Just go back to the book of Acts. We know that it's possible. We just are fighting against apathy. And apathy really has come because we really still have it too good, and we just do not think it's going to disappear.
Well, you know, that's an interesting response that you gave there, Andy, and I think that, you know, both Dave and I would agree with you on that. I reiterate what Dave said, and that is the fact that here at the American Pastors Network, we are behind what you are doing 100%. And pastors are key in all of this. I mean, you know, pastors, as I've often said, pastors represent the spiritual authority in their community, in their state, and pastors have that responsibility to lead. You know, Andy, the Word of God tells us that as Christians, we are to be salt and light in the world, that we are the pillar in the ground of truth in the world, and that as Christians, we are to earnestly contend for the faith. I'm wondering if you could take those three expressions and put them together and give a challenge to our listeners today, particularly those of us who are pastors, how to do that. You know, put a handle on this. How can pastors lead their congregations to be salt and light, to be the pillar and the ground of truth, to earnestly contend for the faith in their communities?
I would do it, first of all, by this illustration. When we began this journey, we pitched the rally at a big camp meeting in North Carolina. A man approached us with a thick Eastern European accent. He was a Ukrainian, and he had tears rolling out of his eyes and dripping from his chin. And he began to beg us to not quit, to continue to do this. He said there were 500 pastors who saw where the Ukraine was headed. He said they stood up. But he began to weep and said, "But they stood too late, preacher. They stood too late." And all of them died martyrs' deaths.
Wow.
He said, "Please encourage these American pastors to stand." May I say it's very simply this. You must obey the Scriptures. You must be salt and light. And you must earnestly contend for the faith which was once given to us. You must. And unless we do, the bastion of righteousness which America has been in every way, she will disappear.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. Dave, you and I were talking earlier today before we went on the air about some of the things that we face in the United States of America today. One of the things that we said is that when it comes to taking a stand for truth and making a difference, number one, there's a comfort problem. Many people are just comfortable to sit back and do nothing. And then secondly, there is an obedience problem. In fact, that means that we are not willing to obey and to earnestly contend for the faith. And Andy, you touched on that. How in the world can we overcome that in America today?
Well, it comes through preaching and teaching the Word of God, and it comes from getting out of our comfort zone. We've got to realize that you must get out of your comfort zone. This upcoming Saturday, we will be at the South Carolina Gay Pride Festival in Columbia, South Carolina, and we'll stand there in peaceful protest with our Bibles in our hands and our signs in our hands that have Scripture on them, and we'll engage those people who are willing to engage us with the gospel. And that's an uncomfortable thing to do. But if we're going to preserve liberty for our children, we've got to get out of our comfort zone. That's just all there is to it. Or we're going to lose everything we want our children to have, which is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in a righteous nation.
Andy, if I could say this, and we have just a few minutes left here before we're going to have to let you go. But Andy, in many ways, you are a modern-day Jonas Clark. And I appreciate you so much, and thank you again for being on the program with us today. Keep standing, my friend. Keep standing.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you.
And as we said to you last week when we had you on, you know, don't be strange. That simply means keep us up to date as to what's going on, and if there's anything we can help you promote, please contact us here at the American Pastors Network. Andy Wells, thank you very, very much for being with us on the program today. God bless you as you continue to serve the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a break, but we'll be back in about 4 minutes to conclude today's Stand in the Gap program. Stay tuned.
Blessed is a man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously to all. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, online at thelifegroup.org. For nearly 40 years, we have worked with believers and especially widows across the nation. We all need wisdom as it relates to our finances, taxes, and estate planning, but no one more than the widow who must manage on her own. We are financial advisors committed to a biblical worldview. We assist with your income taxes and give advice to help keep your taxes low. We also carefully invest your money to provide a comfortable retirement income, and we work closely with Christian attorneys to draft a believer's will and powers of attorney. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800. That's 1-800-688-5800, or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing, as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. They are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
Scripture gives us perhaps the greatest example of fire-tested faith in the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their faith was real. The lesson for us today is real. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. When confronted with a national law commanding them to fall down and worship an idol or be killed, these government officials decided to do what every government official and citizen should do. They respectfully disobeyed the evil law and obeyed God's higher law. To the king they said, "O king, we cannot obey your command. We serve God, the king above all kings. While we don't know if he'll save us from your hand, we know he can, and we're willing to die before we bow." Their decision was predetermined and unchanging. Their faith in God was unmovable. Their commitment to obedience was greater than their fear of death. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network asking you, is your faith only good when times are good, or will it take you through the fire?
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net. You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The Resource Library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we encourage you to continue to pray for Pastor Andy Wells and the We Stand With God rallies as they go across the country, that the Lord would use that particular movement to motivate pastors and Christians in general to be salt and light, to act indeed as the pillar and the ground of truth that we are in this society, and to earnestly contend for the faith. It's interesting, Dave, to note that recently a poll came out, or I should say a survey came out, that said that many people believe that religious freedom is under fire. We talk about that a lot here on this particular program. But a recent study by the Barna Group has found that 4 in 10 Americans now fear for their personal religious freedom. And Dave, that's a growth of 1/3 of the general population expressing concern over religious freedom in 2012, and is mirrored among various generations. It's not just with one particular generation, but it's mirrored by various generations. As a matter of fact, the study was conducted between August the 7th and September the 6th, putting it right after the Supreme Court decision on gay marriage, but mostly before the Kim Davis situation down in Rowan County, Kentucky. Among evangelicals, Dave, the numbers are very staggering, with about 77% believing their religious liberty is not safe. 68% of evangelicals surveyed also believe things will get worse in the next 5 to 7 years. Now, about half of those polled believe that religious freedom has become more restricted in the United States because of some groups have been actively trying to move society away from the traditional Christian values upon which this nation was founded. But perhaps the most surprising finding is that younger generations share a concern about religious freedom. The study points out that 3 years ago, 1/3 of the millennial practicing Christians, that would be about 32%, and 4 in 10 of Generation X, that's about 40%, those who are practicing Christians said that religious freedom had worsened. But today, as the result of this particular survey, it indicates that 55% of practicing Christian millennials, which is a jump of more than 20 percentage points since 2012, and 6 in 10 practicing Christian Generation Xers, that is 59%, say that our religious freedom is under fire. Isn't that something to consider, that it seems that at least amongst the millennials and the Generation Xs, Xers, that many, many people believe that our religious freedoms are under fire? Here in the United States of America, where our founders said, David, that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. From whence have we come and to where are we going?
Gary, what you just read ought to rattle the cage of every Bible-believing Christian in this country. It certainly ought to rattle the cage of every pastor that's listening to this program across this nation. To put an exclamation point on what Andy said, the problem, Gary, is apathy. People that listen to what you just said, that we're fearing for our religious liberty rights in this nation, apathy will say, you know what, yeah, I understand, you know, evangelicals are concerned about that, but it will never happen in America. Let me put an exclamation point on how critical this is and how far down the continuum we have gone in the loss of our religious liberty. Just an hour and 15 minutes ago, I got a phone call, Gary, and I'm going to be a little bit nebulous here because we're checking out some of the details on this. And if it all proves to be true, we'll talk about it very, very clearly on this program. But an individual bowed their head in a public place, happened to be a public high school, to pray over their meal. And a situation, according to the reports that I've received, ensued, whereby a person stated they were offended by observing that Christian young person praying. They went to the administrator of the school and said, I was offended by having to watch someone bow their head and pray to the God of heaven, thanking him for the food. And then the administrator of that school approached this Christian young person and said, if you do that again, you will either be suspended from school or expelled from school for creating an offense. Now, again, Gary, we're trying to determine if all this is 100% accurate, but that is the report that came to me from two solid, incredibly solid sources today. Now, Gary, if that is the case, that is as egregious a violation of that Christian young person's First Amendment rights as could possibly be observed, and that needs to be pushed back against. If pastors, and I love preachers, I love them dearly, but if pastors and if Christians think that we are not on the very precipice of losing our religious liberty, Gary, they need to think again. I would say this, the article you read said 5 to 7 years. Gary, it's not 5 to 7 years. It's 2 to 5 years. 2 to 5 years, and I'm saying that based on some things that I know that I cannot share publicly on air. But, Gary, it's 2 to 5 years, 2 to 5 years max, and the freedom we have to exercise our faith in public and practice our faith in the marketplace will be no more if something doesn't dramatically change.
And the situation that you're talking about, as we know, we can't really devolve too much about it at this particular point. But that situation did not necessarily take place in a liberal stronghold of our nation. It sort of took place in what you might refer to a part of the Bible Belt.
Gary, it occurred in one of the most conservative communities in the United States of America, where there are literally scores and scores and scores, Gary, and I'm emphasizing that, of Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches, Christians in that community. And yet, Gary, because of the stunning silence on the part of God's people, I fear too often, this kind of thing will take place and never be addressed. There'll be no pushback against it. Now, in this situation, Gary, there is going to be a significant pushback if all of this proves to be true. But yeah, Gary, it was a Bible Belt community.
How often do you hear that one person comes along and says, I'm offended that you pray, I'm offended that the Ten Commandments plaque is here, and before you know it, the whole school district or the whole community, you know, is up in arms, and you do away with the praying, and you do away with the Ten Commandments, and whatever the case may be. When are we as Christians just going to do the same thing and say, well, I'm offended that you are offended that the Ten Commandments are there, we're going to keep them?
Well, Gary, you know what? You don't hear of that too often. You hear the other kind of thing taking place all the time. In fact, it was Michael Newdow who almost single-handedly got In God We Trust off of our money because he, as a lone voice but a very vocal voice, stated his opposition to In God We Trust being on our money. Now, thankfully, he was unsuccessful. But, Gary, if we as Christians would push back and say, what about our rights? Exactly. What about our liberties guaranteed to us in the First Amendment, and the fact that you're offended offends me, and the fact that you want to eliminate my opportunity to pray is a direct and very egregious offense to me. If we push back, Gary, some of these things could dramatically change.
And these are days in which we must push back. Again, we've got to get out of our comfort zone. And, you know, Dave, it just goes back to that word obedience. We are to earnestly contend for the faith. Let's do it, and let's do it quickly.
Courageous obedience.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's a delight to have you with us today in the program, and I trust that you'll be able to be back with us again tomorrow, because in about 23 hours, we will be back on the air with another Stand in the Gap radio program. Until then, keep looking up, because we know the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.